Epilepsy is among the most common serious neurologic disorders in childhood, and if left untreated, is often associated with long-term neurocognitive and social problems. Treatments have ranged from the medical use of anti-seizure drugs to surgical intervention in some cases. Well, joining us this morning to tell us about some very new exciting surgical interventions taking place right here in central New York are Dr. Zulma Tovar-Spinoza, Assistant Professor of Neurosurgery and the Director of Pediatric Neurosurgery at Upstate Medical University, and Dr. Yaman Ekshiolu, also Assistant Professor of Neurology at Upstate Medical University and the Director of the Pediatric Neurology Division. Let's begin this morning by helping us understand what exactly is pediatric epilepsy.
Pediatric epilepsy is a syndrome, that is characterized by alteration of normal consciousness at times associated with repetitive extremity movements and an abnormal electrophysiology with repetitive abnormal epileptiform activity in the brain.
So the brain basically kind of starts to malfunction and the person goes into what we know of commonly as a seizure.
Absolutely. So the brain electrical activity initiates an abnormal repetitive vicious cycle that will lead to some functional changes, mainly manifested with repetitive motor movements or at times just alteration of consciousness and staring, or in newborns, infants, with spasm-like, rapid movements of arms and legs that might take place in a split second and may cluster.
So there are a number of types of seizures, as I understand it. So you're saying that in you can see it as early as infancy. If in some children they will have, as you said, a newborn might even just be staring for a moment and lose consciousness, and so they're experiencing this kind of abnormal electrical impulse within the brain, correct?
Absolutely. It can actually start as early as in intrauterine life.
So while they're even in the mother?
While they're in the mother, developing, they can have seizures due to some genetic metabolic disorders. They can start having seizures, and the mothers say, this child has been kicking more and having repetitive movements in my womb when I was pregnant. And these are also not uncommon.
Well, first of all, is it a common event? I mean, what would you say? Do you know what the incidence is in terms of in the States, how many children are born with? And it's something that you're born with, correct?
It is something that you are born with or something that you develop in late years. So the incidence is quite high, at least every year. About 200,000 to 300,000 people are,
diagnosed
with epilepsy, and it is its repercussions in somebody's life is also very important.
Yeah.
The seizures, epileptic seizures, are probably tip of the iceberg. When the brain function is, when the abnormal electrical activity starts in the brain, it affects many functions that the brain governs. It can be learning, memory, personal social interactions, other neurocognitive functions that may be affected. So just looking at seizures will be just looking at the tip of the iceberg.
Well,
it can affect globally.
Yes, we want to talk more about what exactly a seizure does to the overall developmental picture of a child, and that's what you're referring to. But very quickly, in this first section, tell us, are there different types of seizures? In other words, I was under the impression we have what they call general, global, and then there are focal. Can you
Absolutely.
Help us understand that?
So I will start with the ages. In the newborn period, as a patient is just born, we may have very profound epileptic syndromes, such as Ohtahara syndromes with burst and suppression of electrical activity, which are really very malignant and profound syndromes that lead to myoclonic epilepsy with generalized jerking of the body in clusters, multiple times to 100 times a day.
Oh, wow.
And
so a child might actually have 100 seizures.
A newborn might have very profound seizures. And then there might be early infantile epileptic encephalopathies, myoclonic epileptic syndrome. These are really very profound, and they are usually due to either profound metabolic syndromes, such as non-ketotic hyperglycinemia or other metabolic syndromes, or a major structural abnormality.
So they could be born with something actually wrong in the brain or something in the way their body functions,
absolutely.
And they will have that.
A structural abnormality, profound structural abnormality, the neurons failing to migrate to the right places, we call them migration impairments or cerebral cortical dysplasia.
Do we know what causes these kinds of things? I mean, you were mentioning that sometimes in utero, while a woman is actually pregnant, that some kinds of insults can occur.
They are usually due to some genetic impairments that perturb a metabolic pathway and leads to accumulation of a toxic substance or a metabolic substance that cannot be processed, and that affects the energy metabolism or other functions of the brain very rapidly.
Now, you mentioned, and we're going to get to Dr. Spinoza as well, because we're really running out of time for this section, but just quickly, and we're going to be talking about this, are they bad for children? Do they harm children? Yes, they do.
If they are not treated, if they continue, they may be harmful for both the development of the brain and the neurocognitive development of the child.
Right, and so they're very, very, they absolutely need to be treated in some way. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about the variety of treatments available. I know there are both medical and surgical, and we're going to do that. But we're going to take a short break right now. We'll be right back. And this is Linda Cohen, and this is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYY. Back to HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with Drs. Tova Spinoza and Ekshiolu. And we're talking about childhood epilepsy and what can be done about it. And clearly it's a very serious problem, and it can start even in utero, and then, you know, you've seen children as newborns all the way up, and it can have devastating effects on the development of a child. Isn't that correct? They can have, as you mentioned earlier before the break, as many as 100 seizures a day.
And more sometimes.
Okay. So there are classic medical treatments for this. What types of medicine do you give, and what kinds of help is available medically?
Yes. We've been treating epilepsy with medications that affect certain channels, such as sodium, potassium, chloride channels, with the hope that we can change the characteristic of firing in the brain. Also,
so they're anti-seizure type medicines.
Anti-seizure medications.
Give me an example of one.
For example, the oldest ones are phenobarbital, phenytoin. But now we have an armamentarium of multiple newer generation medications that not only act on these channels, but also act on the GABAergic inhibitory interneuron system, for example, that help control the seizures. Our brain actually has an innate inhibitory system composed of inhibitory interneurons secreting inhibitory peptides that can stop seizures. So our brain is actually, armed with a system that can control them.
So we give medicines
to support that.
Uh-huh.
And there are many other designer medications that have been designed as our neuroscientific information about how the brain neurons and glial cells function.
It's interesting because throughout medicine today, we're getting much more targeted in the types of therapies that we're offering from a medical standpoint. I know in cancer research, they're finding much more targeted designer, as you mentioned, designer type drugs. So in this case, it's true in childhood epilepsy as well.
Absolutely, and the future will be pharmacogenomics, which you will design medications specifically targeting the genomic composition of each patient.
Right. Well, Dr. Tova Spinoza, you've been sitting here quietly, and I know that what you're involved in right now is very, very kind of revolutionary type of intervention for this very serious problem. And clearly, something that right now, even though we do have very strong and positive medications, there are some situations where the medicines aren't sufficient.
Yeah, so some patients, unfortunately, they become intractable.
Meaning what? That you can't change it?
Meaning that the medications won't control the seizures or the collateral effects of the medications are so bad for the patient, affecting not only not controlling the seizures, but also not letting the patient learn. These kids that over-medicated, that they cannot interact socially, therefore the brain cannot function normally.
So the side effects of the medicine, even if it helps to control the seizures, affects their ability to maybe be alert and receptive to learning.
Yeah, we have to remember that with pediatrics doctors, or what we want is our patients to learn, and the brain should be busy on the pediatric and the childhood years on learning, not on having seizures. So some of these cases, unfortunately, are become intractable, and about 5% of these patients are candidates for surgical treatment. So we can offer, this is a complex as a complex treatment that involves a multidisciplinary team that fortunately we have now, and we can offer in upstate to our patients, to our pediatric patients.
So this is at the Golisano Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
And you're offering it's, so who's involved in the multidisciplinary team besides the surgeon?
So it's a complex team, right? It's Dr. Ekşioglu, who is our pediatric epileptologist. He's not only a pediatric neurologist, but also he
specializes in
epilepsy.
Yeah.
A pediatric neurosurgeon that have experience with epilepsy and epilepsy surgery like myself, and that involves also the treatment, the pediatrician, neuropsych evaluation, social worker, the specific anesthesia, a specific type of images that we need to determine for doing these cases. It's a very, very high multidisciplinary work.
So everyone is looking at both the status of the child developmentally, what the child's needs are medically, surgically, and then obviously in the follow-up, how this is had an influence on them.
Yeah, so we determine, Dr. Ekşioglu see the patients, he determines that this patient could be a good surgical candidate because we can either see on the MRI or in the images that he has a lesion and all the seizures are coming from that specific point of the brain that is firing. And then we say, okay, probably if we remove that part of the brain, he has a very high potential for stop the seizures. Right. Other cases are not as clear, and we need to go proceed with further and deeply analysis, and that's what is involves the complex epilepsy surgery.
Okay, so let me get this clear for myself. Basically, with under standard conditions, you might use an MRI to localize where a seizure is coming from, and then you could just go in and cut out or excise or do something to change that in the brain directly. But this new procedure is something a little different. Is that correct? You're both doing diagnosis and treatment, and how does that work?
Okay, some of the patients are not as clear, and they could be fired not only from one part of the brain, but many parts of the brain. Then that they will require what is called intraoperative monitoring.
So you monitor it by what technique?
So regularly, the first test that we do on patients is called EEG, right, when we put electrodes on the scalp. But unfortunately, when you put electrodes on the scalp, you know, you have the skin, the bone, the...
It's not really accurate.
It's not really accurate. So you need to go to surgery and put these electrodes on the brain itself. And then you take the patients out from the first surgery, and then you monitor this patient for some days, try to figure out this exact part of the brain where the seizures are coming from.
So this is fairly new. Is this correct in terms of the technique? What I'm understanding, if I'm trying to understand clearly, is that you're basically taking, you're using these electrodes and you're placing them actually on the brain, and then you're monitoring the child or infant for a while, and then you're determining exactly where the location is using those electrodes, and then you go back in and you know exactly where your target is.
Exactly, you got the perfect idea. So and then we are able to, not only by this, it's a puzzle of many pieces of information that we put together. We get out with a plan, we discuss that with the parents, because the parents are a very important part of the team, and then we proceed with resective surgery with the hope that we can offer the patient the best chance to become seizure-free or to improve diminish the amount and intensity of seizures.
So how many times have you done this here at Upstate? I know what you said, it's new. Is this brand new?
It's new in Upstate. We already did our first case. It was a success, thanks God. And the next case is coming. But Dr. Ekshoglu and myself have a profound experience. Me from Toronto and Dr. Ekshoglu from Boston Children's. We have done many cases in the past because that's why the reason that we came to upstate to develop this program and to be able to offer this program to our central New York population that wasn't offered here. And so that's the reason we're here, to tell you that we are running the program. The epilepsy comprehensive pediatric program is running, and we can offer the highest technology to our kids with epilepsy in our center at Golisanos.
Now, how young can a child undergo this kind of surgery? What's the youngest age you've seen, either of you?
Well, as Dr. Ekshoglu mentioned before, many of the neonatal cases are already diagnosed, and the youngest patient that I have done surgery on was 2 months old.
Wow! So this is really, really, you know, I mean, you can intervene very early, and I think what you've mentioned before is that if these kinds of seizures, which are clearly are incredibly debilitating, can affect a normal development, it can interfere with normal development, then the earlier you intervene, obviously, the better.
And that's the beauty of pediatrics, right? Kids are amazing. And the earliest you treat them, even if they have some post-surgical deficits, they will recover because the kid's brain has plasticity and they can move as functions in the brain to other parts of the brain that are working, and they will recover and will recover function and will recover and will they will catch up on cognitive development. So that's why the early diagnosis and the proper treatment, appropriate treatment for every single kid is so important.
I strongly agree. I have some background in development myself, child development, and I do understand both the idea that the brain can compensate in a child because of this plasticity, can pick up other functions, so the earlier, the better.
So the old concept that a kid should be given one medication after all, is not longer valid. We don't keep kids on medications for years and years and years. Now we go for their evaluation and we try to offer every single kid the best treatment. Some of them, of these treatments will be medical, some of them will be surgical, but we can offer the whole variety and the best diagnosis and treatment for every single patient.
Well, Dr. Somatova Spinoza and Dr. Yaman Ekshoglu, we are very, very, very lucky to have you here at Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital. And I look forward to hearing much more about this very, very exciting program that you've started. And I'm sure that our listeners are very fascinated. We have to take a short break, but we'll be right back with more HealthLink on air. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.